watch cartoons. We'll take a look back at where we've been. So let's hop into our time machine.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Cartoon Time Machine. I'm Scarlett.
I'm Katie.
We're your animates, and welcome officially to the holiday season. As we're recording this, it is the first day of December. So I think we can sort of officially call it as the holidays. Yay!
Yay. You can legally celebrate Christmas now.
Exactly. I mean, I think we've all agreed that the Christmas creep has kind of gone on too long, and I don't like Thanksgiving erasure. I don't like it when people start celebrating holidays. I almost said Hanukkah. that's just for me and my folk. And you, because you're an honorary Jew. I cannot forget that, Katie. I think right after Halloween is not an appropriate time to start celebrating Christmas, unless, and this is a big unless, you're watching the movie we're going to talk about today, Nightmare Before Christmas. Katie, you've gone on record saying this is, if not your favorite film, your favorite comfort film. So I know it's been a long time coming to have us actually have a full episode devoted to it, though we've certainly talked about it on the show plenty of times. What makes this film so great for you?
It is one short and sweet.
It's true. It's like less than 90 minutes, right?
It isn't. I think less than 90, if not an 80-minute film. Ideal length for a film.
Beautiful.
Great length. Keeps me engaged the whole time. Two, I like claymation a lot. Claymation is fun. This is good. Three, music full of bangers.
Absolutely.
Four,
I think those. I think.
Oh, tall skeleton boy. Followed by the general thing of four being really fun character designs overall. Five. Fall. Winter. Christmas. Woo.
I think we're just word associating now.
I think it devolved. I'm not even on as many medications as I was last week when I missed the podcast.
Oh my, oh my. Yeah, glad you're back. Glad you're feeling better. We definitely missed you. But yeah, no, I think all of those, I think, are excellent reasons. You know, I don't think we need to go into too much explanation of what Nightmare is for our audience. You know, if you claim to like animation, even if you don't, you've seen Nightmare Before Christmas. It is, whether you consider it a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie, I think it's this general season's movie. I think there is not, as long as you're watching it, like, between September and January, I think you're never not going to be in the right season for it. And even then, I feel like watching any time of year because it's just excellent. But like, if you're looking for seasonality, that whole swath of time, it's coincidentally the amount of time that Disneyland has their overlay on Haunted Mansion for Nightmare, which I have my own beef with because I don't like that it's much more Christmassy than Haunted Mansion's Halloween vibes usually are. So I'm annoyed that I can't go on Haunted Mansion over Halloween, but that's my personal gripe. Nightmare is just so versatile. The aesthetic, I think, is generally more Halloween-y, but the spirit of it is so Christmas. It's about that inexplicable meaning of Christmas that you can't really put into words, but is just a feeling that you have. And it's so fun
childhood
trying to see.
Wonder. That's the mood. It's just childhood wonder, which I think really fits Christmas.
It absolutely does. It's so nice to get to live in that whimsy. How can you even, you know, how can you dislike it? It's, if you like Halloween, like I'm a big Halloween person, you get your dose of, again, the really creepy character designs, really fun Halloween Town aesthetic. I saw when looking through some history and interviews on the production that Henry Selick explicitly called out German expressionism in his design of Halloween Town, which I know you love.
100% the inspo, and it makes me every time I look at it, I'm just like, yes, not like not straight angles, ridges.
Right.
And
Everything. Sorry, go on.
also, there are like some. I haven't watched it as many times since I became, this film major person. But there's also a lot of matte paintings in some of the building, like behind the building, so they didn't have to add actual like depth to things, which also look very expressionist by having like this actual depth to the scene and then just a matte painting. I was like, that's German expressionist to a T.
It's wonderful darkness, and then you go into Christmas Town, and it's just like eye gouging brightness. It is the gaudiest house display on your block. It's
It
beautiful.
looks like one of those what people have in their house with the little dioramas of Christmas towns. It's exactly
Yes.
that. It's those
Yeah.
fancy Christmas town dioramas people set up for some reason.
Right, it is almost designed to make you like kind of hate it. Like you can never really hate it, but like they do whatever effort they can to like make it seem so jarringly different from the kind of, I don't want to say cooler, but like certainly more heavily stylized Halloween Town. I think that like that really, I think, speaks to the movie is trying to show two very different vibes and why they are not compatible. Like, again, also I love that about this movie, just because like kids' movies are always trying to teach you how to share, and that like you can have two great tastes that go great together, you know? Like, why can't we all get along? Like, you share your thing, we share ours. But like, no, like the whole point of the movie is that these things completely clash. Halloween cannot do Christmas any more than Christmas could have done Halloween. Although
This
in
is
the
a
end,
take
of
on
course,
cultural appropriation that came way earlier than expected.
I know I've said that before, and I don't want to get on yet another soapbox. I know Katie loves to tease me when I get on the soapbox on this show, but like it
It's fun
really
for me.
is. Like it's kind of a movie about staying in your lane, about knowing when someone else has something as part of their identity, whether that's their culture or if they're like, the kid in class who likes trains. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Just like, like I guess not calling for anything in life exactly, but like imagine you're like the kid in class who like everyone knows is obsessed with trains and likes trains, and then like come time to do like a report or something in class, and some other kid speaks up first and says, "I want to do a report on trains," and then Billy can't do his train report, even though that's the thing he loves more than anything, and everyone in the class knows it. I swear, this is not a real life thing. I just.
I'm starting to feel you're just making up a story that is very much rooted in your reality. You're just trying to lie about. You're just changing names for anonymity, where that's really
The
hard for
names
you
have
to
been changed
say.
to protect the innocent. But no, I mean, like, I feel like this is a thing that comes up when you're a kid. I think identity is a really big part of childhood. I think when you're a little kid, you're sort of discovering what makes you different from everyone else. And I think there is something in the nightmare story that I think even a kid can sort of empathize with Santa Claus being pulled out of his space and being told, "Oh, this thing that was yours, this thing that was your identity, it's ours now." Like, it's not even we're gonna share. It's not like let's, tell me why this is important to you and I'm going to learn from you. It's this is mine. Like, this thing that you love is mine now. And of course that's where Jack goes awry. Like, I think there's a world in which Jack shows up himself on Santa Claus's front door and says, "Hey, like, I really love this Christmas town. Will you tell me about it? I want to learn." But Jack elects to do his own research, and when he can't figure it out, instead of saying, "Well, okay, I can't figure this out. I have no business here," he says, "Just because I cannot see it doesn't mean I can't believe it," and says, "And even furthermore, I bet I can do this better." And he opens up his window and leans out to the entire Halloween Town and says, "This year, Christmas will be ours." Like, he just straight up, he steals Christmas. Like, I know we kind of don't think of it that way. At least I don't, because like Jack is such a nice guy compared to the Grinch, but like, yeah, he steals Christmas.
He's just such a dummy. He's almost a himbo if he wasn't so lanky.
Exactly. See, that's the thing. To me, a himbo needs to have a little more meat on him. He is just a bony boy. He's
Such a good
a
bony boy.
he is like he means well. I think like so much of this movie is really resting on Jack's likability. Because we the audience know he's wrong the entire time. And I think that's a difficult thing to put on your protagonist. I think to have us rooting for him, even as we know that he is both wrong and kind of doomed to fail. And we're not, and we don't, it's not like one of those, Wile E. Coyote Tom from Tom and Jerry situations where like we're just like really excited to see him fail. Like we just sort of, I think there's something endearing about him. I think when he gets shot out of the sky, like, oh, you know what? Spoilers, but again, like you've seen this movie. Who are you kidding?
We have a friend who hasn't seen this movie.
Wait, really?
Yes, I have to show it to them before the season ends.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is your responsibility. And I don't know, maybe mine too, but like we gotta get that fixed. That's almost impressive. Honestly, it's almost impressive in this day and age for
I
anyone
know.
to have not seen this movie who is like under 50, I would say. And even then.
I was shocked and a little insulted since I love this movie so much.
It's so great. It's so great. But yeah, like even when like we feel bad for Jack when he fails. Like even if we knew the whole time he was not, this was not going to go his way. It makes you feel sad. Like you kind of wish you want to like slap him upside his dumb skeleton head and be like, boy, just learn more about the thing you're stealing.
And
Because
if
he.
you did that, his little head would probably go boop. Boop, 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 boop. Oh no.
And since I am dead, I can pull off my head. God, I love the lyrics in this movie. I mean, like, it's rewatching it again before this pod. I'm just like struck by how, like you mentioned before, how good the songs are. Like,
They're certified bangers.
the music is so hummable, and the lyrics are so fun and interesting. Like, it's, I mean, I think it came out during a golden era of animation. But I think when people talk about the best animated musicals, I feel like I rarely see Nightmare mentioned in that because I think people think of the more Broadway style Disney Renaissance movies, the ones that, then got actual Broadway adaptations. But every single song in Nightmare is good. There is not a bad song. There is not a skippable track. And I think some of that comes from, as we mentioned, talking about in our Henry Selick review. And I think I also mentioned last week when talking Pinocchio, when you make stop motion, you really got to be certain that everything is working and everything is to the benefit of the story and moves the story along and helps you understand the characters. There's no room for fat in a stop motion movie. It's got to be perfect from the start. And I think that's really reflected in the music. Like every single song progresses the plot or tells you something you need to know about the characters.
Which makes sense when you n learn that the songs were written before the script was fully written.
Yeah,
The
they built
songs are the
they did build
basis.
I yeah, they did build the they wrote the script around the songs, which I
Yeah.
love when they do that.
It makes them work so much better.
I think that if I'm not mistaken, that's also how Beauty and the Beast and Little Mermaid were written, with Ashman and Menken, or at least Little Mermaid, I'm pretty sure was, with the song sort of informing the flow of the story. And that works really well. Like that's, not all the time, obviously, but that is a really good way of making sure that you have songs with meaning and songs with purpose, not just songs to pad out your soundtrack or just to kind of waste time. When used effectively, songs are a really good way of conveying a lot of story in a really short amount of time. I think that's why Nightmare is able to do so much with a really limited runtime. I mean, very few movies are able to be as short as Nightmare is and still have so many memorable moments and tell such an intricate story. I mean, the Nightmare has the difficult task of setting up an entire world and not one that's like based in any kind of pre-existing fantasy. Like Snow White, you know, doesn't have to do any heavy lifting, you know, in establishing its world. We know from the start of the storybook that it's a fantasy, and we already have a sense of what fairy tales are like, even, you know, back when that came out. But Nightmare is expecting us to believe in a world where every holiday has its own town. And I think sometimes watching it, I think like we take for granted that that's a wild concept. But the movie makes us accept it in the first few seconds. Like we're in this weird, mysterious forest, and we see the doors with all the different logos on them for all the different holidays. And before we really even have a moment to think about, like, well, wait a minute, what the heck is this forest? Where are we? Like, are we on a plane between existences? Is this heaven? Is this hell? What is this? We're
Oh
immediately
God,
thrust
we're in
into Halloween.
Christmas.
What?
And then it's just, oh God, we're in Christmas.
Oh no, we're in Christmas now. But
Oh,
yeah,
well, it's
like
later, but yeah.
later, right? No, first we're pulled into Halloween Town,
Yeah.
and Halloween, This Is Halloween, does such a perfect job of just encapsulating the holiday. Like there's a reason that that's like the go-to, like as soon as October 1st happens, I like wake up and I just like hear the music. It's like the clock strikes midnight on an October 1st, and I'm just like do 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 do
Just see you rising from your sleep in the
rising.
vampire position, just
Yes.
doing that.
It's time. But yeah, I mean, there has never been any piece of media more than in those 3 minutes of This Is Halloween that just encapsulates a whole holiday. Like every single aspect of the holiday is there. Like I love the lyric, tender lumplings everywhere, life's no fun without a good scare. That's our job, but we're not mean in our town of Halloween. Like to me, like that one verse just completely sums up what it is to be a person who loves Halloween. Yes,
How
Katie.
many of the songs of this film do you have memorized completely?
I mean, definitely This Is Halloween. I mean, I can probably not all of them, or even most of them. But again, just like as I was rewatching, so many lyrics just like came back to me. Like when a lyric is well written, it sticks with you. Like there's a reason a lot of like Disney songs, they're, you know, you find yourself like able to sing along with so easily. And you know, the music is what gets stuck in your head. The music is what makes you think, oh, that was a good song. But the lyrics are what makes it singable, resingable, you know, the thing that you're able to keep going back to. And I think Elfman's score in this is just incredible. I mean, he does an amazing job. It's you know, it makes sense, you know, with him, you know, being such a frequent collaborator with Tim Burton. But you know, I wish he wrote more musicals. He doesn't have that many in he because he's more of a rock and roll singer. But boy, is he good in this, and he's good singing as Jack. I wish this had been more of a common thing with him. As we discussed in our Henry Selick retrospective, contrary to popular belief, Tim Burton did not direct this movie. He actually had very little to do with this movie outside of the original concept. You know, he did the concept art, a lot of character design. I don't want to say he did nothing, but most of the work is on Henry Selick and his amazing crew, and Danny Elfman, who and Caroline Thompson, who wrote the script. A lot of people put a lot more into this. It didn't get the name Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas until Disney was about to release it and suddenly realized, oh boy, this might flop. We should put a star's name on it. Which by that point Tim Burton was. He wasn't when the movie first went into development. So much so that they kicked him off of it in the early days, because they thought he was crazy and that this wouldn't work for kids. But then in the interim, he made a little film called Batman and became a household name. So much to his credit, both he and Henry Selick were reportedly not happy with the decision to put his name on the movie. So kudos to Tim Burton for sort of publicly saying, like, yeah, that was probably not fair. I mean, yeah, it would suck, I think, to like have had very little to do with the production of a movie and find out that your name is being plastered on it. You know, regardless of whether it becomes a good movie or not, I feel like that would make you pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is a kid's movie. I gotta say, every time I rewatch it, the Oogie Boogie scene just like that one is creepy. That gives me the heebie-jeebies.
It's really creepy. I mean, I think it is undoubtedly a kids movie, and it is undoubtedly scary for kids, and I think those two things can go together. I think sometimes I obviously that's what Disney thought too, because originally it was supposed to be released under Disney Animation, but they got cold feet when they saw the dailies and realized how creepy it was going to be. I imagine they probably saw the Oogie Boogie stuff and were like, we're ripping apart this guy, and inside he's just bugs. And prior to that, he's talking about the wonders of gambling and like feeling up a lady's leg. Maybe this doesn't go under our banner.
Yeah.
They did later. They about 10 years later, they did put it under the official Walt Disney Pictures banner. So I guess they won that round 10 years later.
Now that scene is so creepy, but also the whole that animation and stylization of that layer and that song is so good.
I can't imagine the effort that had to go into all of those individual bugs, because they're all writhing at once.
Yeah.
I
I
mean,
don't
they
want to
really
think
look
about
like
that.
bugs. No, let's not think about that. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it go again. It goes back to that lyric in the opening number. You know, life's no fun without a good scare. Like this movie, I can see a neutered version of this movie that just would not have the same charm if Halloween Town was not genuinely creepy. I don't think the same message is conveyed. Like, we want to know that Halloween Town is everything Christmas is not. And although personally, I don't know if you're with me on this one, Katie, but as a kid, I always felt that those little kids who were like screaming at their demonic Christmas toys were the biggest wusses on the planet. I would have loved to get all of those scary toys.
I am not shocked by you saying that.
The little ducky with the sharp teeth.
Yeah, that one's pretty
I
fun.
love the ducky with the sharp teeth. I would love to get that. I mean, okay, I get
Got it.
the
Note
little
taken.
thank you, thank you. But like the little boy who wakes up and like the snake is eating his Christmas tree, like
That's a little scary.
I get that whole sequence, I think is very fun. First you got those fun Burton-y designs, which you know you love to see those at play. I love Beetlejuice. A lot of those are very Beetlejuice looks with the with all the stripes, and the bright colors. But yeah, it's that scene I feel like blends the humor and the horror together really well. Because like, yeah, those things are creepy. Like I remember the promotion for the movie, because I had VHS tapes from the 90s, so they all had like the Nightmare trailer on them. Yes.
And also the very loud, what is it like? Now coming to VHS! Something, something. That was just
Coming soon
ungodly
to
cool.
VHS and video cassette.
Which was just ungodly loud compared
It's
to
so
anything
loud.
else. You know, the FCC came for commercials eventually, but why did they never go for that? I think I
Because
lost some hearing to that.
it was part of the experience. Losing your hearing is part of it. But I remember that the trailer for Nightmare always ended with the scene where the parents go to the kid, and the kid's back is to the camera, and the parents say, "What did Santa bring you for Christmas?" And the kid turns around with like the look on his face, like he's been traumatized for life, and holds up like a severed, shrunken head. And then the parents scream, and that was the end of the trailer. That always hooked me. Like, I don't think I saw Nightmare until I was like a wee bit older. Like this is like an early memory of mine with these old VHS tapes. Like, I think I was like 4 years old. Like, I think I probably saw Nightmare for the first time when I was 7 or 8, a little older, not an old kid, but older. And that was always the intriguing part to me. It was like, what would it be like to get a severed head on Christmas? Like, that would be wild.
God, you're such a Halloween kid.
I'm such a Halloween kid, but I think I think that was good advertising, because there are when you're a little kid, the year kind of is broken into like what is the next holiday? Like whenever you would walk into a classroom, it no matter what month of the year it was decorated for the next holiday. Like you'd have like the odd month. Like I think January was always like kind of a dead zone. Like sometimes you'd have like MLK stuff up, but like, or you'd have early Valentine stuff up, but like almost every month there was a new, you'd make canned turkeys, or you'd like put together a little Easter basket. Like there was always something holiday related. So I think Nightmare taps into that very intrinsic childhood feeling of the holidays are the year, that every part of the year is just built around a holiday. And it's a very di and we're sort of learning our rituals. When you're kids, you're like trying to figure out what you do at every point in time in your life. And a big part of that is what do each of these holidays mean? And Christmas and Halloween really are like the two opposite ends of the spectrum. I think in a lot of ways, Christmas is kind of, meant to be about, it's about doing things for others. It's about, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. You're, kind of like learning about, being with your family and giving to less fortunate. And Halloween, I think, is a very selfish holiday in a really good way. I think to kids, it's kind of about giving into all of your worst impulses. It's about dressing weird and unconventionally. It's about, falling in love with things that are scary and gross and violent and just generally taboo subject. It's about eating things you're not supposed to be eating and in like mass quantities. It's about going up to total strangers and asking for things. Like there's Halloween is just a total celebration of everything that like every other day of the year you're not supposed to do as a kid. And then you compound that against the holiday that's about being your best self. So I think that's just a gen just overall an appealing concept. Like this is a movie that understands children.
Welcome to the Cartoon Time Machine episode where Scarlett just goes on a soapbox about why Halloween is the best holiday for her.
I don't mean to do that, especially since like it is our like we're in like the holiday season now, and we're supposed to talk about this like as a Christmas movie. I guess it's a good question. Katie, do you view this as a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie?
I've never truly decided. I think I'm just like, sure, I'll watch it for both. Just means I get to watch it more.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in on that. I mean, I think
It
just being
doesn't
a
hold the
Halloween.
same Christmas animation as as Rankin-Bass Christmas claymations do for me, though.
Right. And that was an original, apparently, inspiration for this movie when it was just going to be a short. That was how Burton originally pitched it. Was this is going to be, Halloween's version of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is really funny to think about because they have such wildly different tones. And I'm sure that's what Disney said too when they said we're gonna keep this idea. We own this now. You get the heck out. You go over to Warner Brothers with the rest of the D Disney discards. But yeah, no, it's it has a lot of that vibe to it, but it's not the same as what you'd imagine a holiday movie is. Different parts of it, I think. I think like what's this when Jack first goes into Christmas Town? I think that just like fills me with Christmas wonder, in a similar way that This Is Halloween gets me amped for Halloween.
What's this might be the one of the top Christmas songs for me.
It's a good Christmas song because it can yeah, it is about that wonder. It's about the very childlike, I can't understand exactly why I feel so happy and why this is so beautiful to me, but I just intrinsically know that Christmas is a thing of wonder. I think in a lot of
Also,
ways. Yeah, sorry, go on.
might be the song I randomly hum and s the most and sing to my cat. I just feel like my cat's just constantly going, "Ooh, what's this?" So I'm just like, "This is you." I can't dance with this one though. My other cat like to would let me hold his paws and dance
Oh,
with him.
you just gotta train them to be willing to dance with you.
I'll work on it. Artie will
Gotta
get
keep
there.
working on it, and by next Christmas, maybe they'll dance with you. Yeah, no, I mean, I think part of that's also why we can't be mad at Jack when he does things that we know are wrong and bad and are gonna bite him in the butt. It's just because he has such a childlike view of the world. He doesn't. He's not malicious. He's just kind of ignorant. He does not understand Christmas. He just wants it. He wants it in the same way that children who, again, don't understand yet that sense of, being your best self, goodwill towards men, selfless, giving, all those things. When you're at a young enough age, Christmas is just a thing that you want. You want it to be Christmas now. You want the best toys. You want the gingerbread. Like, you want it. And that's how Jack sees Christmastown for the first time. He doesn't understand what it is. He's fascinated by it. It's curious to him. He doesn't know what snow is. He doesn't know why there's lights everywhere. He doesn't know why everyone seems jolly and happy when he's used to be, just people scaring each other. But he's just a kid. He's just a kid who's figuring this out. So, when he fails at the end, it's just like, kid learning, well, yeah, you don't touch the hot stove, kid. Like, lesson learned, you're going to be better next year. Except he's an adult and we just tell him, like, stay in your lane.
Yeah.
I like that Sally's, like, the only one in Halloween Town who has any sense. And she's, like, literally just a rag doll, like, created by a mad scientist. And yet she's somehow the only one of all of them who has any reason to her.
Fantastic.
She's great. I mean, I love her as just the voice of reason throughout. Like, she's Jack is such an idiot. Like, it takes him so long to figure out what her whole deal is. I don't love that it's mostly off screen. Like, we see them reconcile at, like, the very end. But, like, I don't think there's, like, the most satisfying, like, him being like, oh my god, I was a fool, you were right the whole time, like, let me atone for all the bad stuff I did and for neglecting you and all that. But it's probably not necessary. The movie is tight. Like, there's a lot of little nitpicks that you can make, and I've talked before about wanting to see more of Jack versus Oogie Boogie prior to their big fight at the end. But it is hard to criticize a movie that is so short and so tight. I think, it would probably open another can of worms to have more of that plot element in. I think some of what makes it work so well is it kind of feels like a storybook in that sense. Like, you don't need to have a conversation between the hero and the love interest, because at the end of stories, they get together. There's a Shakespeare quote, journeys end with lovers meeting, that I just always think about, when it's like, yep, that's how a perfect story ends. Like, that's the ending. And similarly with Jack fighting Oogie, like, that is the hero fights the villain. That is how the story goes. Again, something wonderfully simple to that you might not want to mess with.
Mm-hmm. Very simple, very concise. Big fan.
Is there anything else that you want to add? I know we've been talking about this for a little while, but I also know that it's one of your faves, so I would not want us to miss the opportunity for you to talk about everything that you love about it.
I think we've talked about a lot. I think the thing I paid the most attention to this time, especially in comparison to watching Wendell and Wilde recently, is just the thing I liked a lot more, and I'm not surprised because I like kind of the old rustic German expressionism, older animation. I love the texture and everything. Everything is so textured. It's not meant to kind of mimic or try to get as close to, like, see how close to smooth animation we can get at points. It's really playing up all the textures. It really uses it to its advantage to make it feel realistic while also being so cartoony.
I love the burlap look on Oogie Boogie. Like, I love that when you first see him, it's more just like he's got all, like, the bright colors on him, so you can't really see what he's made of. But by the end, like, you see that burlap skin and it becomes, like, extra appealing when he, like, the seam bursts.
I can imagine feeling all the textures. That's how, like, well done they are.
And, I mean, of course, that's part of the beauty of stop motion, is that, like, there is texture to things. Like, when you see texture in CG, it's because someone had to intentionally put it there. But the beauty of stop motion and claymation in particular is that it's always there. Like, you would have to fight against it to get rid of it. But you can almost see the fingerprints of the artists, in the clay at certain points. And, that's fun. That just makes it seem like it's the sort of thing that you could make in your bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that I mean there's so much to say about this. We could probably go on for hours and hours, but I think we've hit upon all the main points, and gosh, is this just a great movie. I mean, it is such an instant classic, whether it's for Halloween, for Christmas, for every time in between. It just it there is such a childhood wonder that is not limited to any one holiday. I keep hearing that there's a live action remake somewhere in development at Disney, and please no. Like, of all the movies that, I mean, most of these remakes are unnecessary and I hate them, but like, Nightmare feels so linked just at its very core to this style of animation. Like, not only should it not be made into a live action remake, it shouldn't be remade in any other medium, in my opinion. I mean, I'm willing to be proven wrong, but I think it is just so tied to the medium that no one else could do this story justice. So please don't, Disney. I think that's been in development hell for long enough that it probably won't happen, but is Disney might get at enough loss for ideas that they'll try to pull this out. Please don't.
Was bad.
Can you imagine the CG monstrosity that Jack Skellington would be?
I can't. I a lot of these live action Disney films, you can't tell me they're live action. Lion King was basically all CG. That's just an animated film.
Lion King was an animated film. It was with a different technology, sure, but and I also new and improved and expensive does not mean better. It was, you know, it was what it was. So yeah, I imagine if they were to do live action Nightmare, I imagine most of the characters would still have to be CG. Like, I think maybe Sally and Santa could you could get away with be and maybe the kids, maybe Lock, Shock and Barrel, but like everyone else would have to be CG to be even a little bit recognizable. Like, you know, I mean, I suppose they could go ham on prosthetics for someone like Oogie Boogie. I don't even know. Like, it's no, it would all just be a CGI mess. It would go straight to Disney Plus, and we'd all ignore it and except to be mad and talk about how great the original is. And they
And
probably
make
add
the
an
terrible
hour to
Grinch.
it.
It would be a similar to the terrible Grinch film.
Which one? You have to specify now. There's been like two.
The terrible prosthetics film.
Oh, that one. Yeah, the one that Jim Carrey had to go through like torture training for them to put the makeup on his face. Poor guy. He didn't deserve that. The Illumination one I think might be worse. I'm not I they're worse in different ways. Like, it's not as like mean-spirited and cynical as the live action one was, but it also didn't have anything else. So, you know, it's up in the air. This is probably one of the best Christmas movies, and even if you don't consider it first and foremost a Christmas movie, I think it's got to be up there on anyone's list.
If Die Hard's a Christmas movie, so is Nightmare.
I'll definitely stand by that. I don't terribly think of Die Hard as a Christmas movie. I'm not one of those people. So I'll 100% put this above Die Hard on things that are Christmas movies. I'll also defend Gremlins as a Christmas movie. I think it is really Christmassy.
I have no comment, and we will not be getting into this.
I know, I know. One day I'm gonna find someone to talk Gremlins with, because I feel like not a lot of people have seen Gremlins, and I really
I
like
have not.
Gremlins. I think it's neat.
Put that on a sticker, kids. I think it's
I the Mogwais are so fuzzy, and they're like, you know, actual like animatronics. They look like on. Okay, here's my hot take, and then we're gonna end the podcast because we're like thoroughly off track. Gizmo was the original Baby Yoda. I think everything that's appealing about Baby Yoda already existed in Gizmo, except he was even fluffier and more huggable. That's my hot take.
I see. I see.
You're like writing this down like you're my therapist.
Well, I looked it up, and then the third photo is Gizmo and Baby Yoda next to each other, so I think you're not alone.
Okay, I rest my case. I didn't even know that existed, but I rest my case. They are cut from the same cloth.
Great. Please.
Anyway, this has been us talking about Nightmare and about a dozen other things as we are wont to do. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey into Christmas Town, Halloween Town, and beyond in the Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm gonna pop back into our cartoon time machine and see which holiday world it takes us to next.
St. Patty's Day, St. Patty's Day.
No, it's gonna drop us in like tax day or something, like one of the really lame adult ones.
We're gonna get
Like
stuck on
Arbor.
Groundhog Day.
Oh no. Okay, well, what if it's not like the movie Groundhog Day? It's just a lot of groundhogs. It's just like an empty field and there's just a lot of groundhogs.
It's just a bunch of groundhogs. One of them has a top hat for some
One of them has
reason.
a top hat. There's like one stand that's selling Philly cheesesteaks, and they're like pretty good. Not the best. They're pretty good.
I don't hate this idea, but I don't love it.
It's the most meh of the holiday worlds. It's not good, it's not bad. It's fine. This is a fine holiday
Better than
world.
taxes.
It's better than tax day. Tax town is just a bunch of accountants in like one giant office building. It's really depressing.
Hire us for the animated series, all those random animated Disney series that are 5 minute long.
I would watch the heck out of like 5 minute shorts of Jack Skellington popping in to just like very briefly into all the other holiday worlds. That's all I'm gonna say.
I want to
That's
see
all
Tax Day.
I'm gonna say. Do you want to see Tax? I do kind of now want to see Jack Skellington in Tax Land.
What's this? Everyone is sad.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. We gotta end this because I can't with this. I'm Scarlett. Wear your animates, and we will see you next time on Tax Day.
I just think it's neat.
I think it's neat.